Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome back to the Leaving Eden podcast. We are here. We are your hosts. My name is Gavriel Hacohen.
And I am cult survivor, cult expert Sadie Carpenter.
This is not the episode that we thought that we were going to be recording today. And if you're listening to this on release day, there's a very real chance that this is not the episode that you thought that you would be hearing us make today. Because we previewed
it. We don't know
when
release day is going to be for this episode.
We don't know. If I get the edit done by the, like, it's literally Friday the 8th, and if you're listening to this on Patreon, if I get the edit done by midnight Friday the 8th, I'm just going to drop this, and this is going to be Monday's episode. But if not, then this is either a bonus episode, or this is going to be one that we release next. I don't know. Whenever you're hearing this is when I got it done, and so thank you guys for listening. Thank you guys for tuning in. This is almost like an emergency episode, because something happened that we did not think would happen, which is that Dave Beal, husband of Bethany Beal, of Girl Defined fame, is now an atheist, and he's come out publicly. They've done a video together talking about how he's an atheist now, how he's done deconstruction, how they're staying together, and how they're going to try to make that work in their marriage.
Can you please play the clip?
Surprise!
Well, I didn't. It wasn't like the next day I was like, surprise, I'm an atheist! You just did it with an atheist!
Or
the clip of Dave cursing. That would be fine, too.
Later in this episode, we are going to be joined by Chad Harris, aka Arch Radish himself. He's going to tune in a little bit later in the episode, and we're going to have a conversation with what he thought about these things as our resident atheism correspondent. We're going to get into that today. We're going to try to get into that as quickly as possible. Before we get into that, though, the Leaving Eden podcast is the podcast about my BFF and co-host, cult expert, cult survivor, Sadie Carpenter's life in and escape from the Independent Fundamental Baptist cult, the cult in which she was raised. We talk about this cult. We talk about other cults. We talk about religion. We talk about fundamentalism. We talk about the real and present threat that cults and cult ideologies pose to society as a whole. And it is our goal to promote freedom of mind, freedom of thought, and freedom of religion. If this is your first time listening to the show and you like hearing content about Girl Defined or, you know, Pollen Morgan or the Duggars, other famous fundamentalists, we have episodes about those as well. You should go back and check out our back catalog about those. Woo! Good stuff. If you are a fan of our show, if you like our show, you should go and check out our Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/Eden. Exodus. Great place to have discussion about this episode. That's where the main discussion about the pod goes, is our Facebook group. really good place. We have a lot of really substantive discussions in that group, especially when it comes to people talking about their own deconstruction, their own personal experiences. It's great. Give a lot of support, share memes, just talk about religion. We are positive place if you are a religious person, positive place if you are not a religious person. You know, we kind of take all comers there. There's also a subreddit, reddit.com/r/EdenExodus. If you're listening to this, Dave, you should check out Eden Exodus because I know you'd be on Reddit. anything else before I thank the patrons?
If you should send him to the subreddit. I do not know what is on the subreddit.
People don't really post there that often. There's usually decent posts on there. If Dave Beal, you're welcome in our Facebook group, though, if you want to check out the Facebook group. You can also join our Patreon, where there are extended, uncensored, ad-free versions of most of our episodes. The Patreon episodes also come out early, so you can listen to them over the weekend instead of having to wait until Monday morning to listen to that episode, I suppose on your way to work or whatever it is, whenever it is that you listen to these episodes at the gym, just going about your day. That's another benefit of joining the Patreon. And I need to thank our Faith Promise Missions and I Gave It All to your patrons. And I'm going to blow through these real quick because we are on a limited time frame here. But our I Gave It All to your patrons, your names are I'm Not 1010, Kathleen Moncrief, Melissa Manown, Melora King, and Todd Dale on behalf of his lovely deconstructorine ex of a partner, Madeline Antrim. Our Faith Promise Missions tier patrons, your names are Allie Allen, Autumn of Our Discontent, Brittany, Krissa Walker, Dora J, Hannah Ross, Hannah Montana, Hope Norum, Horton Here's a Shane, Janine Collin, Jana, Jen Kaharski, Jessica Tambo, Jonna, Junie B. Jones, and the B stands for Back on My Bullshit.
Love that.
Kat Henwood, K-Tur-Wee, Kristen Marie, Learned Vixen, Linda Morgan, Madeline Antrim, Madeline Cusick, Marlena Stuve, Mary Martin, Megan Arendt, Melissa G, Morgs, Rob the Methodist, Stephanie Johnson, Steve and Amy, Susie, Tara McNamara, and as always, Wes the Cowboy. Thank you guys so much for subscribing to our Patreon at the Faith Promise Missions and I Gave It All tier.
Yeah, and I know that we are rushing through to get to the breaking news urgent content here, but we did have a Faith Promise Missions and I Gave It All hangout earlier in March. We had a really fun time, and I want to set one up again, looking maybe end of April.
That'd be great. We had a good time. We didn't get to everything that we wanted to get to in that hangout, and so I know that next time there will be even more fun. We would love to see everybody who came to the last one return, and we would love to see some of the people who maybe they couldn't make it to that one come to this one as well, so that would be a good time. Sadie, hit us with that TW, and then we will be ready to go and ready to dive into this.
In general, we talk about a lot of potentially triggering topics on this show, including but not limited to suicide and mental health, racism, misogyny, PTSD, and PTSD symptoms, child abuse, mental, physical, and sexual abuse, and spiritual abuse, including guilt, shame, and fear. In most episodes, we will mention at least a few of these topics, but we avoid graphic detail unless it's relevant to the story that we're telling, and we give our audience a heads up if we are going to include any of that graphic detail.
So we're here to talk about the shocking revelation that Dave Beal, husband of Bethany, who is one of the two sisters that makes the Christian YouTube channel Girl Defined, he is her husband. She is very Christian. He has now come forward and said in a video that he and Bethany put up that he is atheist.
Yeah, he also used the word deconstructing, not disentangling.
Do you want me to basically go into the background, how this all came about, kind of?
Yeah, I need to know how this happened because I'll give you my background and then I'll let you tell us what actually happened here. I quit paying attention to Bethany about 2 months ago. You and I, Gavi, had a really, I thought, productive and insightful conversation about her that I was really I was really proud of how we're navigating, you know, that shift from snarking on her to something that seems closer to engaging with her ideas in good faith and as good faith critics of hers. Loved that conversation, and then I was sick of her, so I quit paying attention to her. And it seems like I shouldn't have taken my eyes off of her, because I saw that they did a collaboration with Paul and Morgan. I saw that Jen from Fundy Fridays did a video about that. I had not gotten to watch Jen's video yet, and you texted me and said, Dave is deconstructing, like, for real, for real. And I was caught out of the loop. So I have spent about 24 hours desperately trying to catch up.
So here's essentially what happened. Christian YouTubers and content creators Paul and Morgan Oligus, who we've covered before on this show, they're doing a series of YouTube videos called 24 Hours With. And in this YouTube video series, essentially what they do is they go visit other Christian YouTubers, they film content with them, they do behind the scenes stuff, and then they drop like an hour long video with those other YouTubers on their channel. Girl Defined and Paul and Morgan are friends. They apparently had met before, they'd hung out before, and they decided to do a video together. They did a collab together on Paul and Morgan's channel on their 24 Hours With series. So they were trying to do Paul and Morgan were apparently trying to plan on doing a video with Girl Defined, but that ended up not being totally possible because Kristen, who is Bethany's sister, apparently doesn't have enough time for doing that because she homeschools her kids. You know, they're making videos. She's working full time and she's homeschooling full time. Like, she doesn't have a lot of time. So they ended up filming a 24 hours with Bethany and her husband, Dave, instead. They dropped the video. It's on Paul and Morgan's YouTube channel. You can go watch it. I watched this video. They have various conversations. Some of these conversations are actually quite interesting to listen to. They talk about what it's like to be married to somebody who might have different convictions than you. They talk about how their views on purity culture have changed over the years and how their views on modesty have changed over the years. And like, if you go and watch this video, Paul and Morgan were kind enough to include timestamps so you can click on the part of the conversation where they have like interesting conversation and you don't have to watch them like play pickleball or do a cold plunge, which they do. Anyway, these conversations ended up coming at a time for Dave when he'd been sort of going through a lot. And they sort of became a final catalyst for Dave to do a lot of deconstruction that had sort of been, I think, happening under the surface for a long time. He says in a video that he released just a couple of days ago with Bethany, and it's on their channel, I think it's Bethany and Dave is the YouTube channel that it's on. They sort of sit down in front of the camera. They put out an hour-long video. He says that he is no longer tied down from questioning his beliefs and his faith. He goes on to say, and this is a quote, he says, I even found myself wanting Christianity to not be true, because in his words, when he was trying to implement Christianity into his life, he found it not helpful in making him be a better husband or a better man or a better father. He then says, I don't want this to be true because I don't want to go through life having to think I'm the worst in order to find life in Christ. And then, and the teaching of you're the wickedest, you're awful, and you're nothing, and that's why you need Jesus, and it's great news, is not one that he finds helpful. And here's another quote from him. He says, it just stops being good news for me. He then says that the truth of the gospel is something that he had questions about since before he and Bethany were married, which I think was like 8 years ago, but he kept that secret and says that it's difficult for him to have these questions and also be in the community that he is in because the community is Christian, and especially with what Bethany does for work. Dave says that he doesn't think that he is a Christian anymore, and he had questions about whether or not he should be taking communion. He said that he had to also apologize to his wife, Bethany, for misleading her about where he was spiritually.
No, I think it's very interesting. I think it really speaks to how far down this path that he has gotten, that he is not euphemizing at all. He's just like, yeah, I am deconstructing. I have been deconstructing. There are multiple things that I want to address here, so I'm going to try to just run through. Number one, Bethany's body language is so different on this video than I have seen previously in videos with Kristen. I've never seen a video of her, a long form video of her with Dave before. I have only seen them in reels or sketches or something like that. She looks alive. It's really something. And he looks so much less miserable. I don't know that I've ever seen him look like this. He looks incredible. He looks so happy. And she really looks, Bethany looks engaged in the conversation. She looks like she's not zoning out. And I feel like she comes off as so much more genuine than she does in the Girl Defined videos that I've seen. And it was almost a little bit of a, is this the same person or is this a twin that we were previously unaware of? And she still has all the little tics, the way she moves her hands, the way she plays with her hair, picking at her nails all the time. Not judging, I do the same thing. You just can't see me because I'm on a podcast.
Yeah, we don't do video here.
There are reasons. But she looks so different from how she looks in Girl Defined videos, her body language and all of it. He has his arm around her and they are touching each other for much of the video. There's also this tiny little thing where she had some fluff or lint or something on her dress, and he reaches over to pick the fluff off of her dress. And to me, that screams intimacy a lot more than filling your partner's mouth with whipped cream and chocolate chips does. So there's that. To me, the entire part where he was talking about specifically what about Christianity was not working for him was extremely impactful. He said he went through a phase where he felt like maybe he could believe, kind of make himself believe, like, I can, like the quote was, I can believe, I don't know it, it's not rational, but that's what faith is. I can believe even though I don't feel it. And then he talks about trying so hard to surrender to God and believing that this is a him problem. Like, if he doesn't have the feelings that he thinks he should have about his faith, then it's a deficit in him. And if he could just break through and surrender to God, then that would fix it. That was an ouch. Also, I don't want to go through life having to think I'm the worst in order to find life in Christ was an ouch. And I tried and tried and tried to find my identity in Christ and just couldn't figure out how to do that was also an ouch. Oof. He is in it.
Most of those sentiments are things that if I haven't heard them come out of your mouth, I've heard them come out of other people's mouths that we've had on this show. Like, I like that something that I could hear Chad Harris saying. That's something that I could hear Eric saying. That's like, these are all things that, you know, they are name brand deconstruction. They're not like the off brand Oreos of deconstruction here. They're not the disentanglement Ginger Duggar brand.
Yeah, no. this is very real and very relatable to a lot of people that I know that have been through deconstruction, and not just the ones that ended up becoming atheist or identifying as agnostic or otherwise non-Christian. This is also very, very, these are very common feelings to people who went through the whole process of deconstruction and decided to be a Christian of some kind as well.
Yes.
This is very typical of deconstruction, and I was pretty surprised to hear it out of Dave Beal's mouth.
Part of this was the revelation that Dave had kind of been deconstructing since before the two of them got married. Bethany says that when they got married, that she wouldn't have guessed, but that she kind of clocked it a year into when they were married. when she was just like looking at, oh, that's the kind of books that you're reading? Interesting. Oh, that's the kind of like podcast you're listening to? Oh, interesting. Bethany says that a lot of people want to know what it means for their relationship. And she says, and this is the quote from her, she says, I think that we are uniquely gifted to love each other and work through this. She also cries on camera. Interestingly, Dave is still leading a morning devotional for their family, but he's choosing his words more carefully. So instead of saying something like God loves us, he'll say something like the Bible teaches that God loves us, which is technically true, but he doesn't.
That's an interesting choice.
Yeah.
Rather than just letting Bethany lead the devotions.
This is going to be really interesting to see because so much of the content that she has produced over the years has been about let your man be your spiritual leader.
Yeah. So there's that.
There's that.
It's interesting that they're not outsourcing it. I think I would have assumed that they would buy or stream a devotional program from some other man, some pastor who does a daily family devotional. That would be what I would have assumed would happen. It's very interesting, and I don't think that'll last very long for Dave. Because he is, if he's saying that, let's see, when did they get married? Let's Google it.
Do you want to maybe go and take up the offering and go to break, and then we'll come back and talk about marriages like this?
I have something to say about that. Go ahead. We'll take up the offering.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Sadie here. If this is your first time listening to the Leaving Eden podcast, make sure you go back and check out episode 57. It's a primer episode for new listeners. That episode tells my personal story and gives you all the terms and information that you'll need to know going forward. Also, check out our cult true crime series, The First Family of Fundamentalism, so that you can get the whole cult story. If you like our show, you can support us by joining our Patreon, where we have extended and uncensored episodes, as well as other bonus content available. You can also join in the discussion in our Facebook group. That group is called Eden Exodus. Tell a friend, tell a family member, tell your worst enemy. The Leaving Eden podcast is a fully independent podcast, and we really appreciate your support. Now, back to the show.
We are back from our break. We are talking about Dave Beal, Bethany Beal, Bethany Beal of Girl Defined, and Dave Beal, her husband. Bethany Beal, still very Christian. Dave Beal, not Christian at all. Atheist. Deconstructed.
Please play that clip again.
Surprise!
Well, I didn't. It wasn't like the next day I was like, surprise, I'm an atheist! You just did it with the Nikki.
I'm sorry. I just loved it.
That's never not going to be funny to me. One of the big revelations, one of the big questions about, because I think, for me at least, like a couple months ago, we did an episode about, as Sadie said, we did an episode about, like, how do we react to Bethany Beal going forward? Like, what's the deal? Is this interesting? Is this, as you put it, what was the word? Edifying?
edifying. Yeah, I like to call it the state of the snark. We end up doing that every year or two.
Yeah, you were asking, like, what is edifying about this? And we were just kind of like, do we really want to talk about Bethany Beale every time she breathes, every time she, you know, does something that we find mildly or majorly problematic? Do we really want to do a whole episode about it? No, not really. Other people can do that. That's like Jen's territory. When people tend to deconstruct, sometimes they do it together as a couple, and sometimes they don't. And sometimes they do it together as a couple, and they do it separately as a couple, almost. And sometimes that just one of them does it and one of them doesn't. We saw one side of that when we were talking about Joshua Harris and his wife, Shannon Harris, when we read The Woman They Wanted a couple of weeks ago, which I would highly recommend anybody who is interested in this topic, go read The Woman They Wanted by Shannon Harris. It's a fantastic book. When we were talking about that, the thing that really struck me was that Joshua Harris was deconstructing and he wasn't really having the conversations about what it meant with his wife. And just kind of, he was doing that solo and not really including her in that process with him. Whereas it seems that while Dave and Bethany are clearly in two very different places spiritually, the things that are going, it very much does seem like they're actually having conversations about what that means for them going forward, rather than just the mm-hmm. kind of like one of the examples that Shannon gave was they were having like this whole spiritual discussion about whether or not their kid should take communion, and their kid had been like wrestling with the idea of whether or not they believed, so they didn't know whether or not they should take communion. And Joshua was like, yeah, just go for it. It probably doesn't mean anything, whatever. Do it. And just kind of undermined months of work.
Yeah.
That doesn't seem like that's what's going on here.
Yeah, what I think is going on here, Dave says that he was deconstructing before they got married. I Googled it on the break. They were married on October 14th, 2018. And that is, he says, about a year before they got married. So that is 6.5 years? 7.5 years? Hold on.
He says about 8 years is the timeline that he gives.
Yeah, that is, to put that in perspective, I would say that I started deconstructing in 2013, and it was a pretty slow burn until 2015, 2016. So I really don't have that much. That's a very comparable amount of time that Dave has been going over these things in his mind. But I don't feel like he was doing it in the same way that Shannon portrays Josh Harris as doing, because Dave has been trying to hide it from Bethany so as not to hurt her. And not to hurt her business. I think there is a potentially, if everything's being portrayed accurately, I think there's a base level kindness. It seems like he was doing that out of kindness, out of wanting to take care of her. And they talk over and over again about how they intend to love each other through this. Dave says that he thinks this is a step in the direction of more integrity for him personally, which I thought was really interesting. I definitely respect him coming out about this. And I don't know what the heck is up with Bethany, but I kind of respect her for not flipping a gasket, at least publicly. Her mother, of course, is another issue.
So when we came out with our episode, I took a lot of heat on the internet from people. I was forced into the position of being a Bethany Beale defender, because so many people were just saying truly unhinged shit about her on the internet. And I was like, that's not productive. And now I almost feel kind of vindicated in that pretty much as soon as this happened, or within like a week or two of when this happened, she's coming out and making a video with Dave saying, yeah, my husband is an atheist. Which, if you're her, if you're in the you know, and people on the internet like to portray her as grifty, as somebody who is sort of like a con woman who just like is only interested in money, is essentially like an MLM scammer, that type of person. if she was that kind of person, then I don't think that it would make any sense at all for her to keep say this out loud. You see what I mean? Because like being a Christian woman in the ilk of Christianity that she is in, and then coming out and saying, yeah, my husband's not a believer anymore, that doesn't just, you know, damage his reputation. That damages your reputation as well.
Yeah, and it makes me wonder where Bethany is going to go with her content. A lot of people are predicting that she will go in the direction of Growing Goodings, who is a kind of trad wife homemaker account whose husband is not a Christian and she is very much a Christian, and she talks about that. I am going to choose not to give my opinion on Growing Goodings in full right now for reasons, but one thing she does very well is talk about respectful conversations between herself and her husband on their differences in faith. People are predicting that Bethany might go that direction, and that's certainly possible. To me, this just seems like the realest shit that Bethany has ever gone through. When we talked about Bethany's sex course and her course at the beginning of the year, one of the major criticisms I had for her is that she portrays everything about her life to be very easy. And she portrays that being single at almost 30 and having a very brief lust problem were the biggest struggles of her life. And this was one of my specific criticisms of her course on how to make courses. Specifically, I was pointing out that I felt she was selling this as an easy, practically guaranteed way to make money for full-time or stay-at-home parents. And she was overlooking all of the things that make it easier for her than for her target audience. Things that she has, like family support and graphic designer husband and a large following online. So as I've been moving away from Bethany's snark and into genuinely engaging as a good faith critic of Bethany, one of the things that I've talked about is feeling like she's not portraying a relatable reality, and she's living a very privileged life that lets her give unrealistic advice. She doesn't come off as real. And I think that's one reason she gets snarked on so much online, because she comes off as a character. Not that that makes it more or less acceptable, but I think that's a reason. I appreciate her coming out and being real here. I appreciate watching her go through something that is now very real. Her marriage is on the line here. Her relationship with her family is on the line here. And I kind of appreciate watching her go through something real.
Well, this is also something that I think that a lot of people who are listeners to the show have probably been through. That either they've been the one who deconstructed, or they had a partner who was deconstructing before they were.
That's a relatable experience to a lot of people.
That's a relatable experience to a lot of people who are listening to this episode right now, because, you know, that, like, we see what you guys are saying in the Facebook group about this and how these relationships tend to go. My other thought about this is that the content that she's planning on making going forward. In the beginning of this video, she's talking about how all she really wants to do is make content with Dave. And all she really wants to do is make YouTube videos with him. And that's all she's wanted to do ever since they were married. And he wasn't always necessarily really interested in that. Like, he would show up in her videos from time to time. But like every time he shows up in one of her videos, that's like the best thing that happens to her all week or whatever.
Yeah. And we've noticed that he appeared really not into being in her videos.
And we all do this to a certain degree. Is like, if you're making content, you have to be able to turn it on Sadie, you use a different voice when you're talking to me as when you're talking on the mic.
Yeah, for sure.
You enunciate your words differently when you're just talking to me regular and when you're talking to me on the mic. I mean, and part of that is just like, you know, trying to have good diction and trying to be clear. And I think everybody does this to some degree, and everybody kind of, like, if you are performing, you can't just be always on unless you're like that one in the million people who just, like, your real personality in real life is the thing that people want to see. I do get the feeling, like, I mean, if girl-defined content about, like, here's how you make your outfit modest. Here's how we did modest thrift store, like that. That's not that interesting, if you ask me. But what is interesting is content about, oh, here's how we get along in a mixed faith marriage. In a marriage mm-hmm. where one person is very, very Christian, and in a marriage where one person is not a believer. How are you going to raise your children? How are you going to let them, you know, make these decisions for themselves? How are you going to deal with, you know, wanting what is best for your family?
And that's scary. It really is. I feel that we have really not seen Bethany go through a real struggle in real time. She doesn't owe that to anybody. She does not have to go through this on camera. And I hope she understands that, because this is no offense, maybe some offense to Bethany. This is a lot more real than deciding whether you're going to kiss before you get married or not. This is now, can we stay together and raise children together effectively? Or if I stay with you, am I going to rupture relationships with my family? This is a bigger deal than whether you need to wear a white t-shirt under that sweater or not. This is a lot more real life than those things, as much as those things may have felt like real life to a lot of us at one point. She does not have to go through that on camera if she doesn't want to. I think it would be really interesting if she decided to be honest about being in a mixed faith marriage. I think it might even, there's a chance it could actually be helpful and worthwhile content. Not that I thought I'd ever apply those words to her, but it could be. It really could be. I want to strike a balance, because I don't want to imply that she is obligated to open up her marriage like that on camera, because I can dislike somebody all day, but that doesn't, I'm not going to treat them like only content fuel and not a person when they are clearly going through something very real right now.
And also, as it seems like they're saying going forward, that they intend to stay together and they intend to make this work. And I truly hope that that ends up working out for them. The number one, I think, worst thing that you can do for your marriage and do for a relationship that you're in is to start making content about it, because then it starts being for other people and not for you. And not for your family. Because once it starts being like, I mean, it's just like the same when you see all of these family YouTubers, and so many of them are just like, I mean, it's essentially being a reality TV kid, only lower rent. I almost, like, for her sake, while I do think that maybe hearing her talk about what she's going through might be interesting to some people, I almost hope that she doesn't end up doing that, because I think that if you make content out of your relationship, then that's a almost certified way to fuck up that relationship.
Yeah. Well, and there are two children in the picture here, and that does not mean it's always the only correct choice for a couple to stay together, but it is a consideration. And after watching this video, I have to wonder if they're healthier people together. I really do. I really kind of think they might make each other better versions of themselves.
What is happening? This is turned
into, I don't
into
know. I'm so confused. I don't know. I have not had a chance to watch the Fundy Fridays yet, so I have no idea what Jen is going to say. I feel like I need help. This is the kind of thing that really pushes people one of two ways. And I think this is likely to either push Bethany into deconstructing or into doubling down. I think what's surprising is that she did not immediately run for the hills and double down. That's a side of her that I hadn't seen before. It's very interesting.
I wasn't surprised that Bethany didn't double down and didn't just like say, no, this is not going to work. Because when I watched the Paul and Morgan video, there was a section where Bethany was like in the car driving around with Paul and Morgan. They were filming and they were just having a conversation. And she was talking about how Dave was the one who led them out of the sort of non-denominational evangelical church that they had been in and into a Lutheran church, and how she had found that to be really interesting theologically, and how she felt that when he engaged with religion in a different way, that it felt like it made him a different person, that it made him a better person, like a better husband and a better father. And that had been something that had been going on before he announced that he was atheist now. So I don't see, so I could sort of see, like, okay, well, she's seeing this is working for him, this makes sense for him. The other thing that I'm thinking about, I'm remembering back when you were telling stories about soul winning, and how when you would go out soul winning and somebody was really mean to you, that wasn't something that was going to help you get out of fundamentalism. That was something that was going to push you further in, because it's going to make you think that the outside really is wicked. And this is also one of the reasons why I feel a little bit vindicated, in that I was like, maybe don't go on the internet and say that Bethany Beale's butthole is dry, because that's like, you know, she's going to see that and she's going to be like, nah, fuck all these people. Like, but also just like interacting with other people and realizing, and obviously I think Bethany Beale has probably interacted with other people who aren't Christian before and realized, oh, these can be good people as well. It's not necessarily a bad thing to have people who have different viewpoints than you and understand, oh, you're fully human and you are you are fully capable of making decisions, and those decisions can be good and you can be a good person without that.
See, this is, she addressed this in the video. Do you have any friends who aren't exactly like you? And what she said in response to that is, well, we are very open to having friends who think differently from us. And that seemed a little bit loaded to me. It seemed like she was saying, of course, I'd love to have friends who look different than I do or think differently than I do, but they just don't come into my life. I like that. It came off as an excuse to me. I can't say for sure. What I can say for sure is she has not ever shown us that diversity of thought in her life. She hasn't shown us people that she thinks differently from or disagrees with, other than slightly more strict or less strict Christians like Paul and Morgan.
Well, I think that's partially caused by being somebody who is very Christian on the internet. And if you say something, if you change your beliefs even slightly, then that's going to cause a big hubbub with all of the people that follow you. And you're going to get a bunch of, you know, I mean, like, as much as people say that the woke mob loves to cancel people, Christians f-ing love to cancel each other. They do.
So that's the question.
That's tough.
Is it not really a part of this diversity of thought that she's talking about? Is it not really that much of a part of her life? And she thinks, well, I'm open to it, and isn't that enough? Or is it a part of her life and she's not showing us for branding reasons?
Yeah. Or also, like, if you were, say you lived down the street from Bethany, she was just like, oh, she's the Christian lady that lives down the street, and she wasn't like a content creator. I think it would be a lot easier to be friends with somebody if they were just some like more conservative but Christian person that lives down the street from you, than, oh, this person is a Christian evangelical content creator and their whole life is, you know, that they're promoting that, like, those are two different things. If you're just doing that, and if you're doing that publicly and as like your either source of income or your job or your, you know, what, or your platform or whatever it is that you do, and that's your public persona. And that might be something that is alienating to people who would otherwise, you know, yeah, they'd be friends with Bethany Beale.
Yeah. And her public persona isn't just tied to being Christian. It's being tied to this branding of Christianity as something that never changes. And it was good 2,000 years ago, and it's good now. And we are trying to be just like Jesus, but in blue jeans. That's her brand. Is this kind of Christianity that changes and evolves very slowly, if at all. So it's not just tied to her faith. It's also tied to how she practices her faith.
Do you want to go to break now? And I think the third section is going to be interesting. We can't wait to have you guys there for that. We're back from our break. So this is, I think, where we get into the realm of speculation. The question that we have asked for this section is, will Bethany eventually deconstruct? And if she does, what does that look like?
So she's demonstrating in this video with Dave being willing to change or at least respond positively.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes. Without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Relatively to his change. And I feel like this isn't something that we've seen much from her. We've seen her change, but we've very rarely seen her admit to it. So one example would be modesty standards. A few years back in earlier times of Girl Defined, they were releasing modest summer clothing guides and do wear this and don't wear this. And just a few years later, Bethany and Kristen were modeling Girl Defined t-shirts in shorts that wouldn't pass the standards that they set for modest summer clothing just a few years previously. But she didn't really address that. She didn't ever hit it head on. She would say things like, you know, the way that the Lord convicts you about modesty may change, but you should always be striving to have a right heart in the matter. She would never address, I used to not do this and now I do.
During the Paul and Morgan video, there's a section in the middle where Bethany and Kristen are hanging out with Paul and Morgan, and they actually talk about this, which is kind of interesting. I'd recommend you guys go and take a look at it, because they like go back and play one of the videos that they were. It was one where they're like, "Oh, here's how you make it modest." Or it's like, "Oh, is it a low cut top? Put a cami underneath." You know, it was a video like that, or put a scarf on over top so you don't like show any cleavage. And Bethany and Kristen are kind of looking back at those, and they're being like, yeah, we took those videos down off of our YouTube channel. I think they took them down off the YouTube channel. And one of the things that they say sort of change the way that they think about that is after they get married and after they're, you know, actually living and have conversations with their husbands and have conversations with men about modesty and what that actually means. One of the things that she said, which was interesting, was she was talking about how at one point she felt that attraction was wrong, that somebody being attracted to her was a bad thing, or her seeing somebody who wasn't somebody that she was married to and her feeling attracted to that person was a bad thing. And now I think she even used the word deconstruct when she was talking about that belief changing for her.
Oh, wow. Okay, I missed all of that.
Yeah, so that was an interesting section of the Paul and Morgan video. And they're talking about, yeah, so they're basically like, yeah, we pulled these videos down because we didn't really feel like they were, you know, that useful and necessarily something that we wanted to do, to like have on our channel in the future for people that were going to see them. And Paul is there in this video. He's being like, I don't know, man. I think this is, I liked those videos. I thought those videos were really useful. It's just practical advice. And
Yeah, so this is exactly what I'm saying, is that Bethany has not been exhibiting these signs of I am changing, or I'm willing to change, or I'm going to admit to the fact that I have changed, until this week. And now something is happening.
My thought on this, however, I mean, and maybe I see things as differently from you because we have different backgrounds, we have different upbringings. I'm not necessarily big on people needing to go and fully update on this is where my beliefs stand now, this is what I stand behind, this is what I believe, this is what I, or like, you know, giving out a personal statement of faith every time they have something about their beliefs that change. And I'm not saying that, you know, you go that extreme, but one of the things that they talked about was, or how they didn't feel like they had to do public apologies for stuff because they thought that it would just be better for them to, you know, change their behavior going forward, or change their content going forward, and maybe just pull down videos if they didn't stand behind anymore. And you know, that was better than having to go on a whole apology tour, which I thought was interesting. I want to know how you feel about that.
So to me, I don't think that even content creators need to make a whole public deal of it when they change their mind on anything. The reason I may come down a little harder on Girl Defined is because their brand of fundamentalism is so centered around God never changes. Like, purity culture, don't have sex before marriage because this is what God expects of you, and God never changes. Modesty, like it was in the Bible, because this is what God expects because God never changes. Like, their thesis statement for why Christianity is relevant now is God never changes. And that is probably a part of the thesis statement that Dave has struggled with. That, I feel like, if you are tying your standards and your modesty or your kissing before marriage or not to God never changes, and then you change your mind, does that change whether you're responsible to make a statement about your change?
I also think it's to do with, you know, they're in a religious group, or they're in a religious space where pretty much everything that you do has to have some sort of religious justification. That, mm-hmm. you know, what you eat. I mean, I don't know if they're as extreme as what you eat for breakfast in the morning. I don't know what order you eat your bacon, steak, and eggs in the morning. You know, when you're eating your breakfast, has a religious justification to it. Like, I don't know if that's the level to which they go to, but there's definitely people that have that. That's kind of almost religious OCD factor to mm-hmm. it. And on the scale of I don't care, do whatever you want, to I have a religious justification for how I lace my shoes up, they're more than a 5 on that scale.
Sure.
They're not like a 9 or a 10, but they're more than a 5. But that was a very interesting conversation to see, because they even use the word deconstruction. The thing that I thought was interesting about this was that they brought up Joshua Harris, and I thought it was funny because Paul said that Joshua Harris is a leader in the deconstruction movement. He repeated the claim that Ginger Duggar made, that Joshua Harris is a leader of the deconstruction movement. And they were kind of talking about the snarkers, and they were saying what people want to see is they want to see you either fully deconstruct and have pride flags all over everything, or they want to... Yeah, like that was one of the words that they, and they're like, I mean, like Joshua Harris is a leader in the deconstruction movement.
Speaking of leaders in the deconstruction movement, did you notice that we've been joined in our virtual studio?
So we are joined in the studio now by the one, the only Chad Harris, aka Arch Radish. You know him from, if you've seen the Shiny Happy People documentary, he was featured quite prominently as a deconstructorino in that documentary. Chad, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well, and I believe deconstructorino is my actual title. So, you know, as a leader in the deconstruction movement, no, I'm not that Harris. I'm a completely different Harris, but yes, I was in that.
And you are not related, just to clear that up once and for all.
No, we came out with the episode where we had you on it when we were talking about shiny happy people, and somebody was like, you shouldn't be platforming Chad Harris. I'm like, the f- did Chad do?
Oh, plenty.
And there is like, he's related to Joshua. I'm like, is it? No, he's not.
No.
Different people.
No, I was commenting name. That in Facebook groups that were not ours, having to go to bat for Chad. That was fun.
So Chad, we're talking about whether or not Bethany Beal will deconstruct and what that looks like if she does. What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I actually had a chance to watch the video before I came on here, and I have to say, first of all, I'm very props to Bethany and Dave for talking about deconstruction taking different forms and looking differently for different people and such, because I feel like that gets overlooked in a lot of these conversations, particularly from people who are Christian influencers. And yeah, I feel like the term deconstruction has become synonymous with becoming an atheist, which is not always the case. And I say that as someone who deconstructed into an atheist. So I do know some people who have deconstructed to a different form of faith or a more progressive form of their faith. And I'm glad that they acknowledge that. Whether or not she deconstructs completely, whether or not she joins Dave, in leaving Christianity, I seriously doubt. And of course, watching them, I saw their dynamic. I saw, their body language toward each other and such. And personally, the skeptic in me says, never take what people present to YouTube at face value, because these are people who are highly trained to present a specific face to their audience. So there's only so far that goes. But that being said, if we do take, what they're saying at their, as truth, then they do seem to, care for each other as people. And that is, I think, if nothing else, a refreshing way for deconstruction to be presented. I've never seen it presented like that before in amongst a lot of conversations about people who have left a more evangelical side of the faith in general, particularly for people who make the living on promoting that. So it's very unusual, but if she does it, that's hard to say. But I think there is probably room for her to, if like I said, the call to maybe switch up her demographic a bit doesn't win out over that. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
It does. That's really similar to something I was saying before you got on the call. One of my major criticisms of Bethany the last time I talked about her was that she portrays her life as being so easy, that choosing, feeling isolated because she chose not to kiss before she got married, and a quote unquote lust problem, and being single at 30 were her biggest struggles in life previously. And now those are all solved because she's married. And she is selling this course on how to make courses to her audience while overlooking the many things that might make it easier for her to make a course than her audience, or easier for her to sell a course than it would be for her audience members. And now I think she's been put between a rock and a hard place. She is now experiencing something that is very real and very difficult. Her marriage and family are on the line, and she is choosing to be real about it, or at least portray it very well. And I think that's really interesting.
Or even if not real about it, at least acknowledging it. Like, yes. I don't know of too many. Acknowledging it at all is a pretty bold move in a world where, you basically have to put your best face forward on every single topic. Mm-hmm. And having a spouse who is an unbeliever is a hurdle that I'm interested to see how many people stick around for, because, okay, there is an inherent drama there, sure, for people who follow it for that. But for people who are looking for advice on, how to be the best version of Christian woman, like, Bethany usually puts out there, it'll be interesting to see how many people, jump ship because of that, considering that, she still has this, on fire love for her husband, even though he's going to hell, so we'll see how that goes.
Well, if you're once saved, always saved, then maybe he's not going to hell.
Unless he was never really saved, which is what they say about most people like me and Chad. And it doesn't give us nightmares at all. Thanks for asking, Gavi.
Yeah, it's such a catch 22. So, I do feel that there is like what I'm calling the Duggar conundrum, because we read about this in Jill's book, that anything that she does is going to be subject to scrutiny. And if, you know, if it comes out, if somebody else finds out that Dave isn't a Christian and like starts posting about it on Reddit, that, oh, Dave's not really a Christian anymore. Dave's not really a Christian anymore. Dave's not really a Christian anymore. Because, you know, in this video, they were, and in the Paul and Morgan video that kind of spawned this video, they're very for real about the fact that they are aware of what people are saying about them on the internet, which I don't know if that's like, even as somebody who I think I value honesty coming from people who are talking about these things, I don't know if I don't think that's the move that I necessarily would have taken. I don't think I would have necessarily acknowledged that as publicly as they did. Just because once you acknowledge people are saying things about you, then that means that they know that you're aware of them, and that means that they know that they can get under your skin if they really want to. And it almost incentivizes, you know, if you acknowledge the trolls and, as Dave would say, the platinum tier haters, then that incentivizes the platinum tier haters to keep saying awful things about you. Because they're in a culture where if he is no longer a Christian, then that is a failure on her part as a Christian wife, as a Christian woman.
Yeah, and I don't know exactly what it says to me, but it sure says something to me that she is coming out and acknowledging that and not trying to hide it.
Do you think that, I mean, we've talked about, has Bethany deconstruct, or is Bethany going to deconstruct? I think that the idea that you are responsible for, you know, the failures of your husband or whatever. The fact that she's coming out to acknowledge that, and she's saying, well, and you know, and she said in the Paul and Morgan video that since his beliefs have changed, that she feels he has been a better man and a better husband and, you know, kinder and more compassionate. It's possible that that's an idea that, you know, she is responsible for, you know, whether or not he's a failure or successful in the Christian sense.
It's almost as if people are authentic about who they are and are allowed to live as such and everything, they, you know, somehow become, you know, better and less stressed about having to put on a face. Interesting that. But that being said, what Bethany, you know, said about, you know, him being, you know, more loving and such like that, that's significant to me, because part of my deconstruction, and I didn't even have a term for it back then, but part of, you know, breaking down the prejudices and the, you know, beliefs that I grown up with in fundamentalism was actually getting to know people who meant a lot to me, who were different than I was. For example, you know, I've often brought up, you know, that the very first, you know, real grown-up job that I had, my instructor was a lesbian, and she was very much invested in my success. And I went into that relationship of instructor and trainee thinking she's going to fail me because all lesbians hate men. Turns out, not so much. She even told me, she's like, look, I want you to succeed. You know, I want you to do well in this job. And we're still friends to this day. But that completely blew away my ideas of what I've been taught about, you know, a certain group of people. And, you know, when you come out of when you're in a more conservative and fundamentalist version of Christianity, you know, you tend to kind of put yourself in a bubble where people around you are more or less, at least on the surface, you know, much like you are. And it's always, you know, tempting to other people. And it's always easy to like generalize the world in big old scare quotes as always being against you. And the dissonance that Bethany is now facing, that, oh, here is someone who I love dearly, and he has, you know, left the faith and he has deconstructed, and yet he is not, you know, matching up to what I have been taught the world is, or, you know, how they're supposed to comport themselves. I mean, the man is still, you know, leading devotions and such, you know, out of love for her. I mean, that has to do some work. And to me, breaking down those prejudices and those generalizations is the first step in deconstructing, frankly, in a real sense.
Yes. And I am genuinely surprised that Bethany seems to be willing to go down that path.
Yeah.
I really love to see her assumption at the beginning of this journey that they're going to be on together is, well, I'm going to love you through it. And I'm going to love you as best as I can. And I think we have something really special. And I think we should stick with it. I don't think this is cause to break up right now. I kind of love to see it. And I really do think that this is going to force her to deconstruct. And I don't think she is unaware of that. I don't think she is unaware of what this means for her, that she is going to have to consider all of these things as he does, whether or not they come to the same conclusions. And I think it's really, it's kind of neat to see her. Sorry. I think it's kind of neat to see her face up to that so bravely and not try to qualify or run or hide from it, at least not in this video.
On the flip side of that coin, though, you know, and this is why I've always said, you know, when it comes to especially influencers and creators on the internet, yeah, myself included, you know, influencers and people who speak on the internet about these things, you know, you can't know the entire story from the very brief part of their lives they put on video. So, you know, even though this is what they're putting out there, and even though this is actually, you know, a really positive step, in my opinion, there may be much more behind the scenes. So we also have to steel ourselves for the possibility that even if she is going on starting a personal journey of deconstruction and, you know, realigning some of her beliefs and evolving and changing, there's still the very real possibility that they may end up on separate paths, and, you know, they may end up, you know, having to separate or what have you. And I'm not saying that as someone who's looking forward to it, anticipating it, but it's also a very real possibility, you know?
Yeah. And that would, you know, sometimes that's the healthiest choice and is what it is. I think I am certainly not ready to jump in as a cheerleader for Bethany and, oh, she's great now because she heard her husband say he was deconstructing and didn't blow a gasket. So now we stan her forever. I think my one-sided relationship with Bethany Beal, from hater to snarker to commentator over the last 4 years, I think...
Would you say you were a platinum tier hater?
I don't think I was ever a platinum tier hater. We have to do our hater tiers at the end of this.
Right.
Is there an I gave it all tier for hating?
Dave calls it platinum tier.
So, yeah, in their video with Paul and Morgan, they're like sitting at a dinner table and they're talking about the people who hate on them. And then they're like the bronze tier is like good faith critics.
Bronze tier is good faith criticism.
Bronze tier is good faith criticism. And then there's platinum tier, which is the people who are talking about, I don't even know if I should bring this up on the episode because speculating about people's sexual orientation is absolutely not something that we do here. But the people who were doing that,
you could just say people were speculating about people.
People were speculating about other people's sexual orientation, which is not something that we do on this podcast, but people on the internet were doing it, and that's something that I would put under the umbrella of platinum tier hating. No, I think when we started the show, I was like maybe a silver or a gold tier hater, and definitely not platinum. I was salty about the Nazi mayor grandfather fiasco, which I think I was on, like, for Paul and Morgan, I think I was Hope Diamond on an unobtainium chain. For Bethany, I don't think I was ever that level.
Yeah, I think maybe I started out at gold and have moved down to silver, or maybe somewhere between silver and bronze. That was the kind of the whole point, the whole thesis of the episode we did earlier this year was, she is serious enough to engage in good faith. I think there are still things like habits that we can make fun of. You're not so into that. That's okay. But she's serious enough to engage in good faith with her beliefs. We can go beyond snark with this, as opposed to Paul and Morgan, where I do not personally see any value in engaging, as I don't think there's a good faith conversation to be had.
I mean, I will say that I hadn't really followed this whole saga up to this point, but I did see that they had spent 24 hours with Paul and Morgan, and that would be enough to make me an atheist, which it's kind of moot because I already am. So, yeah.
That's the title for this episode. Spending 24 hours with Paul and Morgan made Dave feel an atheist.
I know they said it happened before then, but, you know, come on.
No, but there was, like, the section where they were, where they were, like, riding around in the car together. I think Paul and Dave were, like, going to do cold plunge together, and Dave was just like, what the f***? Dave was, like, cursing on camera, and they were like bleeping it out, and Paul was like, let not the sound of whatever come out of your, I'm like, bro, like, abysmal Hank.
Yeah, Dave is like really trying to cuss, and it's kind of,
it's a little funny.
Nope, I can't say that. I'll get Chris.
Please tell me that you that y'all heard it too.
I was gonna say, oh. Gabi, you have to bleep that, because otherwise there's no coming back from this.
No. R.I.P.
Yeah, did y'all hear it too at the very beginning of the Bethany and Dave video where he said that they did a heck yep. load of things, and I was just like, heck load, really? Really? Like,
well, she also used heck weirdly towards the end of the video.
Just wow.
Something like for heck's sake or whatever.
Which I mean, that would have actually been like platinum tier cursing in my household. Yeah, yeah. I mean, anything above that would have been the unforgivable curses. But yeah.
Say Bethany Beal deconstructs or like goes on a deconstruction journey where her beliefs change quite drastically over the course of some time. I'm remembering that because in the video that Paul and Morgan uploaded where they're hanging out with Bethany, they're hanging out with Kristen for a second, and they repeated the line from Ginger Duggar's book that Joshua Harris is a leader in the deconstruction movement. I wonder if, say, Bethany Beal does do some deconstruction, whether or not she would decide to make content out of that, and whether or not that content would be welcomed, or whether or not it would be... people would get mad. People would react to her the same way that they reacted to Joshua Harris.
Oh, do you mean like in the sense that she would come out with her own deconstruction and how to do it package?
I mean, if somebody was going to come out with an online course
yeah.
about something, she is like the online. She knows a thing or two about making online courses. In fact, if you pay her $1,800, then she'll teach you how to make online courses.
I can see that happening, and I sincerely hope she doesn't. I mean, you know, and what got me about the Joshua Harris situation especially was that he was one of the people who was perpetuating harm, and then all of a sudden, seemingly overnight, he was just like, hey, by the way, I'm not a Christian anymore, and I can teach you how for the low price of $300 if you don't say that you read one of my books, in which case it's free, but you still are participating in this weird thing. And I'm just like, dude, just read the room. Maybe you don't need to be the loud person right now. And I feel like, honestly, and this is just me speaking from my experience, if you have shoved the microphone in my face when I first started saying, hey, I don't believe in fundamentalism anymore, not even atheism, but like before that, when I was, you know, deconstructing into a more progressive Christianity, if you had shoved a microphone in my face, I would have said the dumbest stuff you would have ever heard in your life. Like, you know, you don't know anything when you're deconstructing, like, especially initially. And to this day, I still tell people I ain't an expert on much except maybe the cult I grew up in. But the thing is, you know, the whole process of deconstructing is realizing that you're wrong about things and finding out how to be better. I don't see why you would position yourself in leadership of that if you are still doing the very basic work of it. And it just seems tasteless to me when people, you know, decide that, oh, well, you know, come along with me on my journey and I will teach you how to journey in the exact same way I'm doing for a price tag. It seems cheap. And I sincerely hope that's not where she's going with this. I only trust influencers of that sort to continue that because it's the one thing that's made them money, and I get it, but it just seems tasteless.
Maybe gifts of the spirit, and your gift of the spirit being leadership, is something that takes longer to deconstruct than whether or not you think that the Bible says that homosexuality is right or wrong or something.
Put it this way, I was the world's leading expert on everything until I actually became an adult.
Uh-huh. Me too.
I was in Joshua generation, don't you know?
Often wrong, never in doubt.
No, I think... if Bethany was making real-time videos about what was going on in Dave's deconstruction and comparing her thoughts and asking him the questions that she might have on camera without monetizing it beyond like YouTube ads or podcast ads, not selling a course or selling anything. I might actually watch it. But the other thing is she doesn't owe that to the world because what I am asking her to do is deconstruct. Whether or not she, I'm not asking her to become an atheist or become a particular type of Christian. I am telling her, girl, you're going to have to deconstruct because your husband's already there. You're going to have to do something. And it's not fair for me to demand that she does that in front of the world because what I'm asking her to do and what I truly believe she is absolutely going to have to do to stay married is a lot of work. And she does not. She owes it to her husband if she chooses to stay in relationship with him to do that work, but she does not owe it to the world to broadcast it to the world. It's like broadcasting, asking her to broadcast her therapy sessions to the world. And I choose to do a little bit of that on very limited topics on this show. I open up my mind and my soul regarding the specific things that I choose to discuss here. But that's not something I owe to anybody. That's not something that Bethany owes to anybody, deconstructing or not, evangelical influence or not. And I feel like that's the only, like, that vulnerable content is the only thing I'd actually be interested in. But I don't feel like it's ethical to demand that she make it, if that makes sense.
Right on.
In my observation, people who consume deconstruction content tend to prefer content that was made by people who did not have a voice or did not have a platform within that conservative branch of evangelicalism. Like, they prefer the people who were voiceless then to sort of... That seems to be what people really prefer to hear. And I think with good reason, too. I think that if Bethany did eventually deconstruct, I don't think that, for example, our listener base would really be interested in what she had to say about the topic at first, at least. I think that if she immediately decided to flip a switch and, you know, do the Josh Harris thing, because that's the thing. They do think that Joshua Harris just said, I'm an atheist now. I'm going from being Christian influencer to atheist influencer. And everyone's like, hooray, we're glad we have you, Joshua Harris. You're a great leader, which is absolutely not what happened. And I think that if she decided to flip a switch and say, I'm deconstructing now, I'm going to be a deconstruction influencer, she would find pretty quick that I think the Snarkerverse would get bored of her once they no longer found her especially problematic. And the people who were into serious religious deconstruction wouldn't really want to hear from her right away, at least. They would want to, you know... And not saying that, you know, if you're just going through the early stages now that we don't want to hear from you, but I think that to like bill yourself as an expert and somebody who's an influencer in that, it definitely does take longer than that. And that's kind of the problem with what I'm saying about like gifts of the, like if her gifts of the spirit were wisdom and leadership and discernment, then those don't really translate to the outside world. It's kind of like trying to transfer credits from an unaccredited Bible college to a state university. Here's the thing. I think she's good at making YouTube videos. So maybe she would decide to make YouTube videos about something else that she's good at for a while before she was like, okay, now I'm making deconstruction content. I think that it would probably be many years before she would be welcomed as any sort of influencer figure.
There's also something else, too. And I think this, you know, harkens to what Sadie was talking about putting the vulnerable parts of yourself out there. Yeah, I'm reminded of what Dave said in the video where they're talking about his leaving the faith. And he was talking about how he tried to make it work, how he was just like, oh, you know, well, for her sake. And, you know, of course, knowing who she is and all that, he's like, yeah, I'm going to try to, you know, just try to fake it best I can. Like, what even is belief anyway? Sure, yeah, I'll go along with it and everything. And that's also, to me, one of the pitfalls of everybody, you know, being out there and, you know, putting themselves out there, especially in very vulnerable situations, is that, you know, when the camera comes on or when the microphone turns on, there is always going to be an element of, you know, hey, we need to be mindful of how we're putting this out there. And if you're doing something as deeply vulnerable as deconstructing and actually, you know, doing the work. What you put out there is not always going to be the most authentic thing by default, in my opinion, because you're always going to be thinking about, well, you know, how are we putting this out there? How's this going to look? Is, you know, are people going to take what I'm saying in this very vulnerable moment the wrong way and such? And I just hope for Bethany's sake, if she is going to deconstruct, and this is all pure speculation because she hasn't done anything yet, but, you know, if she does, I hope she realizes that this is not, you know, this is something that is, in fact, very real. And this is something that, you know, there will probably be parts of this she'll never share with the world. And it's okay to not put everything out there. I'm hoping that she already understands that, but I'm just hoping that she doubly understands that during this time, if it happens.
I think so many times we've talked about her and we've pointed out all the ways that we think she needs to grow and change. Mm. I do not think that's unfair.
Right.
I think we are allowed to do so. But now she has got this massive opportunity to grow and change. And I think it would be a little disingenuous of us if we weren't at least hoping that she would do the growth that we envision for her. I think so many times we've said, you need to grow, you need to change. And now that she's being given the opportunity on a silver platter to change anything that she wants about herself and her life, I think we have to at least hope that she does.
You know what content I would actually really enjoy from Bethany? This is completely unironic in that I would actually really enjoy this content because I think that she has shown herself to be somebody who is maybe more open-minded and maybe more open to change than we previously thought that she might be. I would find it interesting if she decided to have to make videos where she invited people who believe completely different things to her, and or she's like, I'm open to changing my mind, please convince me that something else than I believe true is true. And if she made videos like that, I would watch that. Would you watch that? I'd watch that.
Okay. I think I might.
I would be interested in watching that. I do think that it was funny, though, watching the Paul and Morgan video, because there was the section where, you know, Bethany and Kristen were hanging out together and they were talking about like videos that they'd done in the past. And Bethany was talking about like, oh, my opinions, my views on things have changed over the years. And then Paul is like, have you ever heard the phrase, don't be so open-minded that your brain falls out? And I'm just like, there's this very clear dynamic going on here where he's like, oh, these people are like, actually this might be some actual deconstruction going on here. I need to kind of push back on it, as Paul would say. I'm gonna push back a little bit on that. Just what he does.
So full disclosure, I didn't see the Paul and Morgan video on this, mostly because my doctor told me recently that I'm at that age where I need to watch my glucose levels, and I was just very concerned about, you know, it just being too, you know, just sugar filled, and it might push me over the edge. But but yes, that sounds very on brand for them.
No, it is really interesting. I'm fascinated. I'm interested to see where we go.
I am too. I think that's about all we have to say today about this. Thank you so much for showing up to this recording session, Chad. I should call you Giga Chad because you're a Giga Chad of deconstruction.
That sounds like a Mario character. I'm not gonna lie, but I'll take it.
You don't know about Giga Chad? Like you know, there's Virgin and Chad. There's the Virgin and Chad meme, and Giga Chad is like the best Chad.
Yeah, well, I'm the final boss, basically, of deconstruction. If Bethany is going to like defeat the final boss, like, you know, me and her will square off, and I'll give y'all exclusive rights to the play-by-play. That'd be cool.
Sadie, here's a question for you. A little bit of a lightning round question. If Bethany Beal called you up and said, I'm deconstructing, I found your podcast, can I come on your show and talk to you? Would you say yes?
On the show? No, but I would. But she, if she wanted a phone call, yeah.
I think that's the right answer. I think that's the correct answer.
You totally caught me off guard. That was not in our notes. So that was my honest take.
No, it's not in our notes, but that's the thing I was thinking about. No, because we were talking about, well, would you have Joshua Harris on? And we're just like, maybe we definitely have Shannon Harris on. But we're like, do we want Josh on? And we're like, I don't know.
Hold on.
Instead, you got his brother here. No, wait. I'm kidding, y'all. Actually. I'm not his brother.
Chad Harris is not related to Joshua Harris. We had so many people being like, why are you platforming this guy? Like, different people. Different. It's a common name. It's related to Calvin Harris, the DJ, as well. He's...
Hold on, I'm looking for something, y'all. Hold on.
As a kid who grew up IFBI, I have no idea who that is, but he probably is a relative.
What? Let me see. Songs. What songs has Calvin Harris done? He's one of those guys. He's a famous DJ, but I don't know any Calvin Harris songs.
Is that Taylor Swift's ex?
Is he a Calvinist?
I doubt it.
No, I said shoot from the hip a minute ago, and I was trying to look for a nonviolent alternative, but I wasn't able to find.
Game time decision. Always do sports alternatives. Sports alternatives are the anyway, Chad, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me. Sorry for derailing there.
No, that's
seriously okay. Thank you for having me.
Bethany Beal, you know, it's coming 2024, 2025, Bethany Beal, deconstruction influencer. You heard it here first. No, not really.
Okay.
You can find our podcast on Facebook and Instagram at Leaving Eden Podcast. Chad, what are your socials so people can follow you?
You can find me as Arch Reddish, that's ARCHARDISH, on TikTok. On Instagram, ArchReddish85, or on Reddit. If you see it, it's probably me.
You you have a thing called Not Church that...
I do, indeed.
That people can... what is this? So that's a TikTok live that you host Sunday morning. Yeah. What time is that?
Yeah, so as long as TikTok is a thing, I will be doing it on Sunday mornings whenever I wake up and get my first cup of coffee. So it's usually anywhere between 9 a.m. Central and 11 Central. We usually get on for about an hour, and it's open discussion. Whatever y'all want to talk about, I'm happy to talk about it. If not, we default to the things I know best, which is fundamentalism, Christian nationalism, and how to push back on it, and what the independent... Fundamental Baptist Church and the Institute and Basic Life Principles are up to these days. So yeah, it's fun times, and it's a great group of people who show up every week, and we'd love to have you. And thank you all for showing up several times too. Much appreciated.
Yeah, I'm often in the chat. It depends on what toddler is doing on a Sunday morning.
I show up from time to time. I'm not really on TikTok like that. I try to avoid using that app as much as I possibly can for my mental health purposes. I don't really use social media that much anyway. I do the posts on Instagram for the episode to come out, and then I delete the app on Tuesday, and then I download it again on Sunday night. Actually, that's what I do.
That's clever.
Yeah, it works. Keeps me off of it. It makes my life better. Anyway, if you want to follow me on that platform, you can follow me on Instagram and at GAVRIELHACOHEN. Sadie, your socials?
You can follow me on Instagram at Sadie Carpenter Music and on TikTok at Sadie Carpenter 1.
Thank you guys so much for tuning in. You guys have a great day. Bye bye. No confusion.